My name is Fiona LaChose, and I am in second grade at Discovery Key Elementary. I am back to talk to you again today. And for anyone who thinks I didn't write my speech last time is wrong. I wanted to be here then, just like I do now. Sorry if I am supposed to be scared when I see people yelling at these meetings. So I am back today, and tomorrow is my birthday. I am going to get suspended if I don't wear a mask for 3 more days. Just because I get suspended for not wearing a mask isn't going to change my mind. You can keep suspending me. I still have the right not to wear a mask. It is not fair that I'm getting punished because you guys, the school board, are not following the law. That is not fair. It just isn't right. I'm still going to stand up for what I believe in, and nothing's going to change my mind. I've been getting suspended a lot because I'm wearing a mask. Do you know how dirty masks are? Because you touch the mask, you put it on your face, you breathe all those germs in because you have lots of bacteria on your hand. Oh, and okay, yeah, I hope you all go to jail for doing this to me. And my family is proud of me, and my Uncle Murphy, that is in heaven, is really proud of me. And I want to say Burke sucks, but instead of, your rules suck.
Economic damage, the deaths, it's been completely horrific. And I would expect that will lead the R&D budgets to be focused on things we didn't have today. You know, we didn't have vaccines that block transmission. We got vaccines that help you with your health, but they only slightly reduce the transmissions. We need a new way of doing the vaccine.
From Chiron Return and for the Pacifica Radio Network, welcome to Planet Waves FM. My name's Eric Francis Coppolino, your host for the next hour or so. Tonight's edition is for Friday, the 12th of November, 2021. Welcome to our program, wherever you may be in the world, in the future, or in your state of mind. It is good to be with you. Right up front, you heard Fiona LaChose, a second grader. I'm not quite seeing where she is, but she's on Earth and she's in the United States of America standing up to the school board and telling them they should all be put in jail for their rules. She's been suspended from school 38 times. She's in the second grade. She's been suspended from school 38 times for not wearing a mask, and she refuses to wear a mask and she will get suspended again. Me, personally, I never understood school suspensions, but whatever, this just kind of proves my point. And she proves quite a few other points. That crowd was obviously with her. The theme of tonight's program, at least this part here, the first hour or so, where I'm going to sum up all the latest maniacal news from the, the New World Order, is dissent. What is up with all of this silencing of dissent? Now, anyone who's been watching this issue go by knows that the one thing you're not allowed to do is to question the narrative. Okay, so speaking of questioning the narrative, Bill Gates recently questioning the narrative that vaccines stop the spread of quote-unquote COVID or SARS-CoV-2. He admits openly that the vaccines stop the spread slightly? What the hell is slightly? We've known, I've been reading for a year and a half, that these quote-unquote vaccines do not interrupt the spread of anything. They just reduce the symptoms. Huh? So let's keep going. This what's what we've got here? Where do we begin? I know where I want to begin. I'm not a football fan, but I am a new fan of a football player named Aaron Rodgers. He is the Green Bay Packers quarterback. Now, despite my not being a football fan, being the quarterback for a NFL team is a significant life achievement. There's a lot of people with big investments in him, like the hedge funds that own football franchises and so forth and so on. He's not getting this shot. He is aware of, for example, let me read you a little bit of what is now known. Let me just scroll through here. I was yes, this was I think this was sent by Allison down in Oz. Okay, with the subject header, this is happening right in front of us. 32-year-old Olympic tennis player Joachim Gerard collapses during a match with heart problems. 19-year-old football player Jalen Levy dies at campus after the game. 23-year-old baseball player Daniel Brito suffers stroke during a game. 19-year-old football player Terrell Williams dies following an on-field collapse. This list goes on for a long time. I have not verified every one of these, but I spot-checked a whole bunch of them, and every one came back to a real incident that I spot-checked. So I'm going to keep reading. 19-year-old Terrell Williams dies on field. Dies following an on-field collapse. 21-year-old football player Okafor Kelechi dies during training. 29-year-old football player Lee Moses dies during training session. 15-year-old football player Steven Sylvester collapsed and dies during conditioning practice. 18-year-old football player Emmanuel Antwi dies after collapsing on the field. 13-year-old football player K-C-A-J-E-T-A-N Nisofar dies during practice. If I read this whole list, it would take about an hour. It's on my Facebook, EFC 1964. So these are all healthy people. These are all athletes. Some of them are up to 45 years old. But how do you have 19-year-olds and 15-year-olds and 17-year-olds dying of heart failure and heart attacks? So I don't blame Aaron Rodgers for taking the position that he does. He also goes to a homeopath and he has his own protocols, he said, and as prescribed. And worked out with his homeopath. Okay, so New York Times article from, what day is this from? This is from this week, November 9. Scientists fight a new source of vaccine misinformation. Aaron Rodgers. Front page story in The Voice of God. The New York Times. Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers during the first half of, it's a caption. Okay, lead. This spring, he was auditioning to be the host of Jeopardy. Nearly every day, he pops up on television ads for national brands like State Farm Insurance. And on Sundays this fall, he has led the Green Bay Packers to a division-best 7-2 record. Quarterback Aaron Rodgers is not just the NFL's reigning most valuable player. He's a celebrity who transcends the nation's most popular sport. A household name on par with Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. So when news broke that he tested positive for the coronavirus last week and was unvaccinated, Rodgers justified his decision to not get vaccinated by speaking out against the highly effective vaccines and spewing a stream of misinformation and junk science. Medical professionals were disheartened, not just because it will make it harder for them to persuade adults to get vaccinated, but because they're also starting to vaccinate 5 to 7-year-olds. Sorry, 5 to 11-year-olds. Pause for 1 second. This is supposed to be a news story. Okay? A news story. And this is pure yellow journalism. The highly effective vaccines, which Bill Gates admits don't stop transmission, and spewing a stream of misinformation and junk science. Medical professionals were disheartened, not just, can you imagine, we're just, for scientists are fighting the disinformation, but medical professionals are disheartened. Honey, I'm home. I'm so disheartened. Professionals were disheartened because it will make it harder for them to persuade adults to get vaccinated. And because they're also starting to vaccinate 5 to 11-year-olds. Quote, when you're a celebrity, you're given a platform, said Dr. Paul A. Offit, the director of the Vaccine Education Center at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. When you choose to do what Aaron Rodgers is doing, which is to use the platform to put out misinformation that could cause people to make bad decisions for themselves or their children, then you have done harm. The NFL is investigating whether Rodgers and the Packers violated any of the league's expansive COVID-19 protocols, which were developed with the NFL Players Association. Rodgers admitted to flouting those protocols, including attending a Halloween party with his teammates where he appeared in videos unmasked. The Packers and Rodgers could be fined hundreds of thousands of dollars for failing to adhere to the rules. So, for one thing, what he is accused of doing is, so far, not wearing a mask and testing, quote, positive, unquote. Now, you who have probably listened to this program before, maybe you've listened to it 20 or 30 or 75 times, have heard me develop the issue around the claimed test for SARS-CoV-2. There is no test for SARS-CoV-2. So not only is that not critiqued in this article, the New York Times has previously admitted that the test, if you believe in the virus, even if you believe in the virus, they've admitted in an article from August 29th, 2020, a long time ago, that the test gets 90% false positives if you believe it gets any positives. So straight away, they're lying. They should have a boilerplate paragraph right at the top of the story. But the test is known to get 90% false positives, according to the world's leading virologists and specialists in the polymerase chain reaction. But they don't. They make it sound like he is sick, like he was diagnosed with something and is therefore sick. The test itself says this is not a diagnostic test. It does not in itself say that someone actually has an infection, but the hedge fund controlled media are making it seem like this perfectly healthy person is sick when what he's really guilty of is giving his opinion, and mostly whatever he may have said, he is guilty of dissenting. Industrial psychologists and other psychologists and pretty much everyone knows that the most powerful endorsement is a celebrity endorsement. People look up to professional football quarterbacks. I certainly am looking up to Aaron. So that sort of self-proves my point. And they know they have a problem with this because he is so prominent and so well known and so well respected. And he's also advocating homeopathy. When have we heard any discussion of homeopathy around SARS-CoV-2, except maybe, like, I don't know, in my interview a couple of weeks ago with a homeopath named Katie Bray? Now, next. As for his concerns, reading and where whose Substack is this on? I've got this. Got a lot happens in 1 week. Hold on 1 second here. I didn't even get to house announcements, but hold on 1 second here while I look up this Facebook post. My Facebook's very very exciting. Facebook. I'm amazed I'm still allowed to post. There's a Substack writer who publishes on Substack named Steve Kirsch, and he's done an analysis, which I will link to, which you can find on my personal Facebook page, not the company page, it's my personal page, which says something I keep saying, as of November 1st, there have been more adverse events reported for the COVID vaccines, quote-unquote vaccines, than all 70-plus vaccines combined since the federal government started tracking adverse events 30 years ago. That's a stunning statistic. Nobody can deny it, but nobody in the mainstream medical community or the mainstream media seems to care much. It's not even worth noting in passing. So we have all these, first of all, dead athletes. Second, and I've been tracking this pretty much since the beginning, the number of adverse events, including deaths, hospitalizations, and sickness in the past 11 months doubled. It is equal to the total number of deaths, hospitalizations, and adverse events for the past 30 years. The VAERS system went online in 1991 as part of the 1986, you know, Preventing Kids from Getting Hurt by Vaccines Act. It took them 5 years to get this thing online. They put the thing online, and they got X number of reports of injuries and death, and it has doubled in the past 11 months. That is to say, CDC advertises on its website 18,000 reports of death. Most of the deaths occur in the first 48 hours. They almost all occur in the first week, but the vast majority occur in the first 48 hours, and they are perfectly healthy people. Don't let someone say, well, they have comorbidities, because it's not true. It is true for 94% of quote-unquote COVID deaths. So they've got a problem on their hands with Aaron Rodgers, because he is one of a very few people with a recognizable name who is openly and vocally resisting and risking everything to do so. If, for example, you're my friend Kimberly Messing, who wrote an article that appears on the front page of planetwaves.net, an article titled, I'm a Nurse, I'm Not Taking the Shot, well, it is very well written. This woman is not a writer. She's a nurse. It's touching. It's powerful writing. Right on the front page of planetwaves.net, second article down, more than 600 people have read it. But Kimberly Messing is not Aaron Rodgers. You can easily blow off this person's opinion. Well, she's just a nurse. Whose training, she graduated nursing school and took her license in December of 2020. So she went through the entire quote-unquote pandemic working in an urgent care facility doing COVID testing and treating people for symptoms without any vaccine. And she says that what she learned in nursing school contradicts what is being said about COVID, i.e. the immune system, infectious disease control, and all that. None of it makes any sense. None of it's fitting what she actually learned in nursing school during the quote-unquote pandemic. But some people will care. But sadly, not as many as care about Aaron Rodgers. Celebrity endorsements are powerful. And this guy is a household word. Okay. What else? So I want to read there's a writer I've never mentioned. Rather erudite guy for the 21st century. In fact, this guy would have been erudite in pretty much any century. Charles Eisenstein, who published, I guess on the 11th, an article called Elements of Refusal. Psychiatrist Norman Doidge, MD, has recently published a long four-part article entitled Needlepoints, in which he examines vaccine skepticism in America. The author, who got vaccinated, quote, early and voluntarily, unquote, is solidly pro-vaccine, but he displays what is in these divisive times an unusual willingness to see the issue from the perspective of those with whom he disagrees. I don't want to default to critique in responding to this article, which I appreciate for its peaceful intentions, diligent historical research, lucid style, and willingness to bridge a steep ideological divide. Instead, I will meet in goodwill its implicit invitation into dialogue around the core question enunciated in its tagline, "Why are so many people hesitant to get the COVID vaccine, and what can we do about it?" As the tagline suggests, an assumption runs quietly through needle points that COVID vaccines are by and large safe, necessary, generally beneficial for personal and public health. Therefore, opposition to them must be explained in psychological or sociological terms, because we all know that, scientifically speaking, opposition is baseless. Over the summer, I wrote an article not as popular as this called, Are Anti-Vaxxers Idiots? What Are They Thinking? Taking a more sardonic approach to the topic. But it's hilarious that no one actually critiques what people who are opposed to this thing, and most people who are opposed to the COVID shot are not anti-vaxxers. Most of them have had all the other vaccines and will give their kids all the other vaccines, but they don't like this one. Most nurses who have refused this vaccine have had the other vaccines. Most, not all, most. If you've been to school recently, you had to have them. Kimberly Messing said she never takes flu shots because it's not medically indicated. Right. So let's go on. Dr. Deutsch devotes a fairly long section of the essay to cataloging the crimes and cover-ups of the pharmaceutical companies, which they perpetuated over the last several decades. He also describes the regulatory capture of agencies like the FDA, the CDC, and the NIH, whose officials often rotate into lucrative positions in the very companies they had formerly regulated, and by the way, in the reverse order as well. As a result, he says, public trust in the pharmaceutical industry is extremely low. You can see he's going somewhere, right? He quotes Deutsch, as of September 2019, a Gallup poll says only a few months, sorry, let's start that again. As of a September 19th Gallup poll, only a few months before the COVID-19 pandemic, Big Pharma was the least trusted of America's top 25 industry sectors. Number 25 of 25. He's quoting Deutsch here, the guy who's going to tell us that if you don't get the shot, you've got a psychological problem. In the eyes of ordinary Americans, it had both the highest negatives and the lowest positives of all industries. Number 24 was the federal government, and number 23 was the healthcare industry. These three industries form a neat troika, though at number 22 is the advertising and public relation industry, which facilitates the work of the other three. Given the track record of pharmaceutical companies and their regulators, can anyone say opioid crisis? Afghanistan war to get opioids? No wonder a large percentage of the American public is, quote, hesitant, unquote, to get their COVID shots. Dr. Deutsch seems to be saying, quote, the shots are safe and effective, and society would be better off if everyone got them. But many people are quite understandably reluctant because of their past experience, unquote. The obvious question here is, why does Deutsch himself trust the science promoted by the very companies and regulators whose misdeeds he so compellingly enumerates? He seems to take for granted that the vaccines have a low rate of adverse reactions. Yeah, like how many 100,000 reported dead and injured just on the CDC site? That was me. Going back to Charles Eisenstein, are the agencies saying that and the data they utilize is reliable? The agencies, the article's tagline implies he knows it is. Otherwise, he wouldn't wonder, quote, what to do about vaccine hesitancy, unquote. He would be wondering instead what to do about vaccine credulity or vaccine naivete. Yes. Yeah, Charlie. Why aren't we critiquing the people who believe this fucking horseshit? Who pretend to not smell the stench rising from the crematoria of 18,000 reported dead bodies reported by the Centers for Disease Control of the United States of America, admitted official primary source. The federal government says that 18,000 people have been reported dead within days of getting these injections. I will continue. Charles Eisenstein said, "The very term vaccine hesitant normalizes vaccination by implying that it is the endpoint at which the vaccinated will sooner or later arrive. Most unvaccinated people I know would not describe themselves as hesitant. At this point, most who have resisted the social and government pressure intend to remain unvaccinated permanently." Yeah, vaccine hesitancy. As Rael Kaya puts it, quote, "Why don't we call people who haven't gone bungee jumping bungee hesitant? Nor do we call them anti-bungee. There's no need for a category. It's just something people decide to do or not do. So this Hegelian dialectic cleverly sets up a dynamic that implicitly assumes that the regular thing for people to do is to take a vaccine. But we need words to describe those who don't because they're so peculiar." Yeah, like cisgendered. So just by, I said that, not her. So just by having the words in the first place, an entire reality is created and reified about what people are supposed to do or are expected to do. The term vaccine hesitancy is patronizing and presumptuous. It encodes a smug certainty that official messaging on vaccines is reliable, that reigning medical paradigms are sound, and that the knowledge medical science produces is trustworthy. Science is real. Duh. You're a complete idiot if you don't think it is. By the way, we have our Tony Fauci candles burning downstairs in the Planet Waves office. Tony Fauci altar is set up right next to the Paramahansa Yogananda altar with the periodic table of the elements above it. In fact, Eisenstein continues, there's increasing reason to believe that just as in the past, the pharmaceutical regulatory complex is distorting, hiding, and manipulating data to support its narrative. To help Dr. Deutsch and those heeding his message understand the mindset of a skeptic, of a vaccine skeptic, I will share a bit of why I believe that. And that is where my notes end. Please stand by. This article is so good. I'm going to read the rest of it. Hold on. I took a couple of Google searches to find that. Okay, Charles continues. It took me some time to come to my current conviction that the COVID vaccines are unsafe. When the mRNA vaccines were first announced, I was hesitant to condemn them out of hand. In fact, I was disposed to think of them as more benign than conventional vaccines, since mRNA technology doesn't require the toxic adjuvants to promote an immune response. He's got a footnote there. I believe there still are adjuvants in this thing. These things. While there was certainly reason for concern from May 2021, there is no proof that any of the potential mechanisms of harm would be significant. While I was appalled that these minimally tested vaccines would be imposed on a mass scale, I hope that a public health catastrophe could be avoided. Today, I'm convinced that this technology, never before used on humans, let alone on this scale, is causing widespread harm. Here are some of the reasons I think that. And before I read these, I just want to say that there is an assumption being made that the problem rests entirely in the mRNA technology rather than, for example, the graphene oxide that appears by all counts of independent scientists who have analyzed it to be there. And we've seen many of these. And now the graphene, we know, is an ingredient in antibiotic capsules, like in the capsule part of the pill, that it's in masks. I just confirmed that they're lacing masks with it. We knew this, but I verified it. The graphene is in the swabs that are shoved up people's noses, and the graphene can induce these symptoms that are being called COVID. Well, what is graphene oxide? It is a particle. It is a molecule that is one atom thick. Okay, so it is a planar molecule. It's like, you know, most molecules are thicker than one atom thick, or they are on several different planes, like part of it's sideways and slanted and part of it's flat and all. Well, graphene oxide is one atom thick planar molecule, kind of like dioxin, which is called coplanar because it has several different structures to it, but it is planar in plain talk and is very toxic. Part of why dioxin is so toxic, the most toxic chemical known to humanity, part of why dioxin is so toxic is because it is planar. It can slip into hormone receptors and other receptors in the liver and other organs. And unlike normal hormones or pheromones or biological chemicals, it doesn't dissolve. Graphene is said to be 400 times harder than that super duper strong metal. Hold on one second. Oh, that titanium, and 40 times harder than diamonds. And it is in these vaccines. It is in masks. It is in antibiotic pills. What the hell? And there are other reasons for this. It is my understanding that the cardiac stuff is coming from the propensity of these spike proteins manufactured by the cells at the instructions of the mRNA, or in the case of the Johnson shot, the DNA adenovirus vector, which delivers the instructions, are clogging the capillaries and causing thrombosis, strokes, and various other forms of bleeds, and myocarditis and pericarditis. So the heart muscle is becoming inflamed by these injections. It's why so many healthy young people are having heart attacks. So Eisenstein, let's just scan this. This is a long form writer. His reasons for his decision that they cause harm is firsthand reports from people who were harmed or family members who were harmed. Doctors and nurses who are speaking out about the alarming rise in blood clotting disorders, strokes in young people, and heart attacks in young people, peripheral neuropathy, myocarditis, and other supposedly rare conditions. No, other in fact rare conditions, Charles. Here's a sample, a sworn statement on part 11. On the part of 11 doctors with their stories. Remember that the whistleblowers have nothing to gain and a lot to lose by speaking out. Other practitioners have told me their stories in confidence. And an alarming rise in mortality among people under the age 65 in 2021. In 29 countries across Europe, excess mortality in the last 4 months for people aged 15 to 44 is running nearly double what it was in 2020. Double. Statistics do not double. For ages 45 to 65, it is more than 50% higher. For ages 65 to 74, 40% higher. This is despite or because of vaccination rates at least 70% across Europe. In the USA, all-causes mortality is about 50% higher so far than in 2020, the year of the great pandemic. I'm going to throw up. I'll read that again. In the US, all-causes mortality, and he links to the statistics, is about 50% higher so far than in 2020. 50% higher? But for people aged 25 to 44 and 45 to 64, it is about 85% higher, meaning double. For people under 25, excess mortality is nearly double last year. 85% higher is nearly double. So too, for those under 25, doubles. The only age group that died in smaller numbers in the U.S. were those 85 and older. These figures don't prove a causal connection between vaccination and mortality, but they merit concern. Okay, so he may be wrong there because it is the proximity of the death to the injection that can be said to be causal if you have enough examples of it. One case, no. Two cases, no. Thousands of cases, 18,000 cases, most of which the person died in the first 48 hours? Come on. Four, revelations of sloppiness and malfeasance in the COVID vaccine trials. The British Medical Journal just published a report, which I either talked about or we reported on COVID-19 news, describing how a Pfizer contractor running clinical trials, quote, this is true, it was in the British Medical Journal, I read it, falsified data, unblinded patients, employed inadequately trained vaccinators, and was slow to follow up on adverse events. She reported her findings to the FDA, who never followed up. One wonders whether this was unique to that contractor or more widespread. In a separate revelation, a girl was dropped from the Pfizer study after having had a severe reaction to the shot. Apparently, the study rules required a study doctor to evaluate adverse events. If someone went to the emergency room, they would be disqualified from the study and that data excluded. For fuck's sake. Given the unavailability of the raw data, we have no idea whether this girl was the only one to be excluded, but it certainly gives reason for alarm, especially because the study size was only about 1,000 children. This is part of a pattern of manipulated studies throughout the COVID era. Well, yeah, and longer. That's my scientific specialty, going way back to when I was a teenager, basically. Coming up on my 30th anniversary of covering Monsanto next month. That's special. I'm going to have a little birthday party on the program. The FDA is one of the most corrupt institutions ever to be institutionalized. A number of times on this program, including in an interview with the man who broke the story, we've talked about an incident from the 1970s and early 1980s called the Industrial Biotest Labs incident. The way that federal regulatory agencies work is they don't personally do the experimentation on products, chemicals, Roundup, pesticides, DDT, PCBs. The company who is going to manufacture or manufactures and plans to sell and distribute the product hires a lab to certify the potion safe. And Peter von Stackelberg, who was covering grain futures for the Regina, it's like the Regina Bee or like some little newspaper in Saskatchewan, basically a down-to-earth, come-to-work every day, get paid hardly anything newspaper reporter, found out about pesticides being withdrawn and pursued the story and discovered that this related to a lab, one of these safety testing labs called Industrial Biotest Laboratories, having been busted for doing completely fraudulent studies, but not after it did those completely fraudulent studies for approximately, 15, 20 years. Executives arrested, and so forth, and so on. And then this spread to numerous other labs. In the end, every safety study, pretty much on every chemical on the market, quote unquote, anyone who washes was affected. When Senator Ted Kennedy held hearings on this, and one of the experts said, he was asked by one of the senators who's affected by this, and he said, anyone who washes, because all these chemicals are in your soap, your deodorant, your toothpaste, and all this stuff, not a single study was valid. About 90% were invalidated, and they figured the other 10% can't be worth anything if 90% were thrown out. Now, it gets worse. In light of this complete regulatory failure, there was an emergency meeting held between the captains of industry in the pesticide industry and the chemical manufacturers, mostly of pesticides, and leaders of the FDA and the EPA. And they talked not about how to redo these studies. They talked not about how to protect public safety. They talked about how to keep the chemicals flowing, how to make sure they stayed on the market. That's what the EPA and the FDA were doing when there was a total regulatory failure that I may be the only working journalist who actually remembers it. We can't count Peter von Stackelberg, who broke the story. He definitely remembers it. They went to work for these companies that were not only killing people, they were producing false studies saying that their stuff was safe. This is the same FDA that we now are being told, well, it's FDA approved. Well, shit, piss, and vinegar. Of course it's FDA approved. You bring them the most poisonous shit on the planet and they'll approve it, which basically they do. How about this? Where is California Governor Gavin Newsom? Factcheck.org, which is paid for by Zuckerberg, by the Zuckerbot, and I guess the Metabot, now it's going to change its name to a virtual and enhanced reality you can just inhabit. You can just hook up the feeding tubes and some form of a catheter, anal and urinal, and just exist in virtual reality like in the Matrix. And you can go visit the virtual version of Mark Zuckerbot. Full story, this is according to factcheck.org. Governor Gavin Newsom received the single-dose Johnson vax in April and then received a Moderna COVID-19 booster shot in Oakland Health Clinic on October 27th, and he has not been seen since. He was expected to attend the UN Climate Change Conference, COP26 in Glasgow, but he canceled the trip, citing family obligations. Wait. When he planned the trip, he didn't know about the family obligations? And his family doesn't know that when the governor has to go to the conference in Glasgow, that's it, screw you if it's your birthday or dance recital? Newsom then spent 12 days without, fact check continues, leading 12 days without any public events. He still has not been seen, by the way, leading to unsubstantiated rumors that he had suffered from health issues due to the COVID-19 booster. Social media posts spreading the claims drew more than 25,000 interactions on Facebook, according to CrowdTangle Analytics. A source came forward, this is me talking, not the Zuckerbot's so-called fact check. Oh, here it is. An article on November 8th in Robert F. Kennedy's anti-vaccination publication, The Defender. Anti-vaccination. That's like saying, if the Ford Pinto explodes and you object to it, you're just against driving. The defender claimed a source close to Newsom said he had suffered symptoms that were similar to those associated with Guillain-Barre syndrome, GBS, a known side effect of many vaccines. The NOQ report, a website based in California, claimed on 11/8, quote, whether it's Bell's palsy or something else, it seems to be tied to the booster shot. And then, of course, the governor's office denies it. But he got the shot, and he hasn't been seen. Don't know if he's even alive. And by the way, I've read over and over again, the risk of an adverse event goes up tenfold per injection. That's an order of magnitude each time. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. And might I remind everyone that I know October was a long time ago, 13 days ago, but 130 countries and institutions, states and provinces, and organizations like Health Canada, the NIH, the CDC, all admit there's no samples of the virus. It has never been shown to exist. And the problem with that is, among the many, many, many problems with it, is that there can be no PCR test for a virus that has not been shown to exist, because the test is based, or supposed to be based, on virus that already exists, and the samples that come in from the field, i.e. somebody's schnozola, are said to either match or not match the real thing. But there is no real thing, because we know this from two major sources. First of all, 130 governments, institutions, state and provincial governments, and big hospital organizations and stuff that in other countries have to answer these questions, and the U.S. only the government does, have said they have no samples, meaning there is nothing from which to sequence. The PCR only works when there is an original sequence that actually is the thing that is being looked for. And furthermore, that thing must be proven to create the disease that it's said to create. How can you do that if you can't test it? You can say, well, those people who test positive had those symptoms, except we don't know what's causing those symptoms. There's absolutely no way to test this. And then the designers of the PCR test openly admit that their test is based on in silico, meaning phony, theoretical, computer-generated sequences, not actual virus. We know there's no virus, and we know there's no test, because all the authorities admit it. But here in 2021, they can all say that, and it's what you believe that counts. And furthermore, institutions like the New York Times refuse to mention that there has never been a sample found of SARS-CoV-2. And very curiously, when they admit their test is blowing 90% false positives, no one seems to care. And furthermore, they don't say, oh, by the way, you can't have any positives because there's nothing to match it up against. Speaking of, the federal government, CDC responded to a Freedom of Information Law request by attorney Elizabeth Braham from the firm Siri and Glimstead, a Park Avenue law firm. This does not look like a mailboxes, etc. address. 200 Park Avenue, 17th floor, New York 10166. The attorney, Elizabeth Braham, requested from the federal government of the United States documents reflecting any documented case of an individual who, one, never received a COVID-19 vaccine, and two, was infected with COVID-19 once and recovered and then later became infected again, and three, transmitted SARS-CoV-2 to another person when reinfected, i.e., the reason for all the vaccines. Because if bazillion people have been infected, which is seems to be the figure from the United States, all of these infected people would, in theory, be immune, because everyone says so. But vaccine manufacturers like to play that down, assuming you believe there's a virus. The federal government responded, in the words of Roger Ando, CDC Freedom of Information Officer, "A search of our records failed to reveal any documents pertaining to your request. The CDC Emergency Operations Center conveyed that this information is not collected. They cannot prove or disprove that if you got sick, quote unquote, from COVID and recovered and never got a vaccine, that you could ever possibly give it to someone else." Like, how deep does the horse shit have to be before people say, this really smells like shit? Not to put too shitty of a stench on it, but please. I mean, you have to really want to not believe this, because this information is everywhere. So much goes by in 1 week that by the time 2 days have gone by, I've got to ask for help to remember what happened Monday morning on Wednesday night. Meanwhile, Austria, CNBC, today, Austria, that country near Germany, is expected to impose lockdown restrictions on millions of unvaccinated people in the coming days with no proof they pose any harm to anyone. They are all perfectly healthy people. Chancellor Alexander Schallenberg told a press conference Friday that his government wanted to give the green light to such measures by Sunday, the Austria press agency reported. Lawmakers will meet over the weekend to discuss the move, according to the news agency. The chancellor rejected the notion of a nationwide lockdown being applied to all of Austria's citizens. Oh, how generous. Telling reporters Friday that the two-thirds of the population who had accepted immunization would not be forced to show, quote, solidarity, unquote, to the unvaccinated. Wait a second. Did I just read that? Who wrote this? Who wrote this script? Hold on a second. I've got to get my intercom and ask down in the writer's room. Who wrote this shit? Oh, CNBC. The chancellor rejected the notion of a nationwide lockdown. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. They're going to basically put one-third of the Austrian population under house arrest. And this is about to happen in Australia, too. The chancellor, I'm glad the United States begins with a U, we're at the end of the alphabet, but America begins with an A and an M, so maybe we're next. The chancellor rejected the notion of a nationwide lockdown being applied to all of Australia's citizens, telling reporters on Friday that the two-thirds of the population who had accepted the immunization would not be forced to show solidarity. I can't read this without laughing. It's like reading Tom Wolfe. They would not be forced to show solidarity. It's like, we're locking you in your house because you're so loyal to those unvaccinated people. Ah. However, he did caution that there may be some tightening of other restrictions. Schallenberg said last month that if COVID-19 cases continue to rise, meaning complete fucking horseshit PCR positives, unvaccinated people would face new lockdown restrictions in line with the government's incremental plan for fascism. That strategy would place unvaccinated people under lockdown once coronavirus patients occupy 30% of ICU beds in hospitals. And how do they tell their coronavirus patients? Because they got a PCR positive for a test that the New York Times and the New York State Wadsworth Laboratory, not that guy on Twitter, repeat that again. The New York Times, many quoted epidemiologists and virologists, and the New York State Wadsworth Laboratory admit is getting 90% false positives, if you believe in any positives. Continuing from CNBC, I guess COVID-NBC. COVID patients currently take up 20% of the ICU beds in Austria, according to Reuters, and that level is rising fast. The country saw 67,148 new cases of COVID over the past 7 days. Well, shit, piss, and vinegar, once again. They're all... Who believes this? 20%... I'm shouting in the other direction from the microphone so I don't blow your ears out of your head. Okay, in Austria, 20% of the beds are ICU beds are full, which is like none. ICU should be running at high capacity. They're very expensive. 20% is nothing. These nurses have got time to make videos with disco butts. Okay, so, but put this together. Only 20% are full, but they've got 67,148 new cases over the past 7 days. A new record weekly high, Johns Hopkins University, one of the inventors of the plandemic, one of the co-sponsors of Event 201, the pandemic drill that was not a rehearsal for the next 3 months. So they've got 80% of the beds are empty, but they've got 67,000 new cases. What's the problem? What is everyone missing? We have just days until we have to introduce a lockdown for unvaccinated people, Schallenberg told a press conference Thursday. These people have a hard-on for fascism, as does Australia, which is doing the same thing. Why do I have to talk about this? What the fuck is going on? Best meme ever came across my desk. Two scared-looking people wearing masks is the illustration. Quote, and I think I opened the show with basically this very idea last week. Some people would not know tyranny if it covered their faces, locked them in their homes, enacted the biggest wealth transfer in history, censored them, made them show their papers, and force-medicated them, and their children, and there's heart attack medicine in the COVID shot for kids. Maybe they should put some heart attack medicine in the COVID shot for adults, since it seems a lot of adults are having heart attacks. By the way, I'm taking a couple of weeks off from the show. I will drop in the Wednesday before Thanksgiving with a music special, wherein I will not talk about most of this stuff if I can avoid doing so. And then be back. I believe the date is on Friday, December 3rd. I need to cool my jets, soak my head in a bucket of ice water, and gear up to do the 2022 annual edition called Tune In 2022. I'll be proffering this product with a product code and beautiful radio dial with galaxies behind it very soon. And this is my 23rd year, maybe? What year is it? My 22nd year of doing annual editions for my Planet Waves readers. It is economically priced. These are going to be 12 approximately one-hour readings, and then three videos, one for the fixed, one for the cardinal, and one for the mutable sign. So it's a hybrid. 12 readings per sign, and then video, mainly to explain the visual aids. So bear that in mind, and I will put a note on the website. Not that anybody sees this stuff, but anyway, so here's what I've got going on the rest of the program. Already in the can at this late hour, thank God, is an interview, a delightful, really fun interview, kind of a conversation of like two guys born in the 60s who like to do their own thing. And the other guy besides me is a guy named Ed Barnhart, who is an archaeologist and a Mayan ruins explorer, mainly in the form of being a surveyor. So he does things like measure pyramids. And he's done this for like, I don't know, 35 years, gone down there to Guatemala and Mexico. And he's a calendar expert in the Mayan calendar. He publishes a Mayan calendar, and the next 20 people who make any monthly contribution, $1 a month, $1,000 a month, or whatever, to Chiron Return, the publisher of Planet Waves FM, will get one of Ed's Mayan calendars. So that there. And then in the next segment after that is a fire-breathing interview with a woman named Ty Burnett, who I've now known for 2 years. Ty Burnett brought a lawsuit, two libel lawsuits against my former newspaper, the Woodstock Times, and the Woodstock Times and its insurance carrier settled this combination of $8 million lawsuits, two of them, two $4 million suits each, and she was paid off, and the Woodstock Times apologized for having committed libel against her. I won't say more. I have a very long history with this company. Some of you remember their award-winning coverage of me in 2018 and their award-winning coverage of Joseph LaLima. I will move his interview up. So I'm going to put Joe LaLima. I'm going to update his thing so you can go right to the cover of Planet Waves FM. I do mention it at the end of the interview with Ty Burnett. And I think I'm going to forego doing the Miracle Hour, at least for today. I've got two new editions of Miracle Hour. They, too, are right on the front page of Planet Waves FM. So I've been working on this program all week. It is great fun. I guess I'll condense the last two songs into one. We'll see. So song break number one. This is a band called Love, led by a guy named Arthur Lee, and this song is called The Daily Planet.